Well, praise the Lord. So good to be in His house today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The Amplified Classic, never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. The glow of a fire, a burning, a source of heat, a source of light, that which is helpful and useful, and a cause for gathering. Gazing at the flames, the tongues of fire dancing. Every Christian is to be lit. An ignited one. A burning one. Hot, bright, strong and intense. Romans 12 begins in this manner. The heading: living sacrifices to God. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, that is, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, rational service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The body, our bodies, a living sacrifice. Living sacrifices presented to God. And we know that the quality of sacrifice matters to God. And here the writer tells us what kind of sacrifice, the kind of sacrifice that is acceptable to God, well-pleasing. A living sacrifice, holy. Reading from the Amplified Classic, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg you, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. The J.B. Phillips New Testament, with eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give Him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to Him and acceptable by Him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within, so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all His demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity. Oh, Christians, we want to burn. We want to burn for God. We want to burn holy and acceptable. That's the Christian's cry. Well-pleasing. Worthy of His acceptance. And this conviction that it's only reasonable, for this is rational Christian life and living. This is intelligent Christian life and living. In view of all the mercies of God, eyes wide open to the mercies of God. Lord, here I am, a living sacrifice, a sacred offering. Now, concerning this, it's a choice. It's a decision. A personal decision, a personal choice to be a living sacrifice, to be a living, breathing, moving sacrifice. The New Life Version reads, "Let your bodies be a living and holy gift given to God." The NLT, "Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable." This is truly the way to worship Him. Oh, the writer's quick. The writer is quick to point out what every living sacrifice must guard against. And do not be conformed to this world. I mean, is it possible? Is it possible that partakers of the mercies of God can become conformed to the world? The world from which they were so gloriously saved. Conformed. Squeezed into its mold. Listen, the world will not relent. The world tries. The Voice Bible reads, "Do not allow this world to mold you into its image, its own image." Christians, do not fall in line with the manners of this world. Every generation is needed, Romans 12. Every New Testament generation. And those that have gone before us, and oh, how we need these words now. How we need these words in our time. The Amplified, "And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs." We are gloriously saved. And now the process of sanctification. The refining of our lives. The refining of our living. The Lord at work. Lives surrendered to the Lord's mold. Transformation. Reformation. The text continues, "But be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually." That is metamorphosis, permanent change. Outward permanent change. By the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for you. Living sacrifices to God. The pen of the writer leads on, exhorting us to serve God with spiritual gifts. Romans 12, we pick it up at verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. I love how the J.B. Phillips New Testament reads, I give this piece of advice to each one of you. Don't cherish exaggerated ideas of yourself or of your importance, but try to have a sane estimate of your capabilities by the light of the faith that God has given to you all. For just as you have many members in one physical body, and those members differ in their functions, so we, though many in number, compose one body in Christ, and are all members of one another. Through the grace of God, we have different gifts. If our gift is preaching, let us preach to the limit of our vision. If it is serving others, let us concentrate on our service. If it is teaching, let us give all that we have to our teaching. And if our gift be the stimulating of the faith of others, let us set ourselves to it. Let the man who is called to give, give freely. Let the man who wields authority think of his responsibility. And let the man who feels sympathy for his fellows act cheerfully. You know, it's worth noting. Let's note that living sacrifices holy and acceptable to God have a sane estimate of self. They don't think of themselves more highly than they ought to. I mean, sacrifices are humble, emptied of self-promotion, no false image of importance. Carry on. Keep writing. We need the ink's content. And so the heading appears on the page before the final verses of Romans 12. Behave like a Christian. He's talking to believers. Behave like a Christian. Romans 12, verses 9 and 10. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Philip's New Testament, let us have no imitation Christian love. Apparently, some have imitation Christian love. Let us have a genuine break with evil and a real devotion to good. Let us have real warm affection for one another as between brothers and a willingness to let the other man have the credit. Oh God, let it be. The amplified love is to be sincere and active, the real thing without guile and hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Detest all ungodliness. Do not tolerate wickedness. Hold on tightly to what is good. Be devoted to one another with authentic brotherly affection as members of one family. Give preference to one another in honor. The Amplified Classic, let your love be sincere, a real thing. Hate what is evil. Loathe all ungodliness. Turn in horror from wickedness. But hold fast to that which is good. Love one another with brotherly affection as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. How do Christians behave? Romans 12 is the written word of God. Romans 12 is the standard. Romans 12 is the mark. Romans 12 cannot be altered, changed, cut out of the book, or replaced. This is how a Christian behaves. sincere love. They hate what is evil. You know, one man stated, I'm a discriminator and a hater. I hate sin and I discriminate against it. Christians, they cling to what is good. They are kindly affectionate to one another. They are those of brotherly love. They know honor, and they in honor give preference to one another. I mean, church, people of God, brothers and sisters, can you imagine if every person that claims to be a Christian fell in line with the list? Can you imagine even one group of believers defined by the list? Can you imagine even one church? A local church, a congregation, a people of God like this. Precious ointment, commanded blessing, commanded life, the acceptance of God. The Voice Bible, love others well and don't hide behind a mask. Love authentically. Despise evil, pursue what is good, as if your life depends on it. Amen. Live in true devotion to one another, loving each other as sisters and brothers. Be first to honor others by putting them first. A Christian lit, a Christian on fire, a living sacrifice, a burning one. Romans 12, we pick it up at verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient, that is persevering in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, pursuing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, I mean, this sounds like it's from another world. Yeah, in the world, not of the world. You know, this sounds like the mold of God. Let's check off the list today. Not lagging in diligence. Check mark or X. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. How are we doing so far? Press on, pilgrim. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. You know, it sounds like Christian behavior. It sounds like Christ-like behavior. It sounds like rational Christianity, like reasonable Christianity, like intelligent Christian life and living in conduct and attitude. Bless those who persecute you. That's what the text says. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Check marks and X's. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Christian behavior. And now, and if possible, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. If possible, for it's not always possible. Yeah, I hear you, Luther. Peace, if possible, truth at all costs. But oh, the disease of truth, if possible, peace at all costs. The Christian tries, though. They try as much as depends on them. What words are these? Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. You know, the Christian leaves it in the hands of God. Maybe not that easy. But that's Christian behavior. The Christian leaves it in the hands of God. The Voice Bible, do not seek revenge. Instead, allow God's wrath to make sure justice is served. Turn it over to Him. For the Scriptures say, revenge is mine. I will settle all scores. And now the final words of Romans chapter 12. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Philip's New Testament, these are God's words. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Don't allow yourselves to be overpowered with evil. Take the offensive, overpower evil by good. You know, this is what Christian behavior looks like. This is how Christians should behave. And these be the flames. And these be the tongues of fire that make up the collective. And these be the flames of living sacrifice. Hot, bright, strong, intense. These be those not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor, aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. The words of Charles Spurgeon. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The ordinary duties of our calling, we are not called upon to forget. We are not to neglect the shop for the sanctuary or the counting house for the class meeting. The legs of a fool are not equal, but the holiness of the believer should always be well arranged. Whatever our position in life may be, we are so to order our conduct therein as to commend ourselves for diligence and uprightness both to the church and to the world. The Christian is not to be a worse tradesman because of his religion, but a better. He is not to be a less skilled mechanic, but he is to be all the more careful in his work. It were a pity indeed if Paul's tents were the worst in the store, or Lydia's purple of the poorest dye. At the same time, observe how the next clause calls our equal attention to the higher and more spiritual matter. Fervent in spirit. We must not neglect the spiritual because of the pressing demands of the temporal. Perhaps we are more likely to forget this precept than the former. Therefore, let us lay it more, the more to the heart. We are to maintain the holy fire within our souls constantly burning. For that is the meaning of fervent. Our love to God must not merely be there in small degree, but it must exist as a vigorous flame. Our spirit must be kept warmly zealous, burningly affectionate. Our spiritual nature is to glow like coals of fire. The keystone of the arch of life is to be a desire for God's glory. At this point, the public and the private, the bodily and the spiritual are to be as one, both in business diligence and spiritual fervency. We are to sought the Lord always before us. Our everyday labor is to be consecrated into priestly sacrifice. Our inward fervor is to be like temple incense, and so our bodies being the temples of the Holy Ghost, we are ever to remain serving the Lord. Once lit, always lit, right? We won't even mention the folly of the other once, always. Once lit, always lit. I mean, have you ever lit a fire? Pile on all the wood, all the fuel you can. Get it burning. But there will come a time when the fuel that was is consumed. And you will need to add fuel to the fire in order to keep it lit. Well, what about a gas fire or a propane or an electric fire? Hey, the source of fuel or current must remain flowing in order to keep the fire lit. People of God, a fire takes work. Diligence. Tending, proper oxygen airflow, the Holy Ghost. Keep fuel in the fire. Persistent, consistent. Recall the text, the written line, Romans 12:11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Apparently, this is a Christian. The Amplified Classic, never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor, be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Philip's New Testament, let us keep the fires of the Spirit burning as we do our work for God. The Message paraphrase, if that's your choice, don't burn out, keep yourselves fueled in a flame. Be alert, servants of the Master. The Voice, let your spirit be on fire, period. Why are we exhorted to not lag in diligence, to never lag in zeal and earnest endeavor, to not slack in faithfulness and hard work, to not be slow in busyness? Why? Slackness spoils the work and weakens the fire. And slackness, lack of diligence, lagging zeal have killed many a fire. Leviticus 6:13, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Let us keep the fires of the Spirit burning. through continual surrender. Feed the fire with the Word of God, holy pages, holy paper. Feed the fire with prayer and worship and commitment and devotion. Feed the fire at home. Feed the fire in times of private devotion. Don't just come to church on Sunday and feed the fire. Feed the fire in the house of the Lord. Christian behavior. Yeah, it sounds like Christian behavior. For Christians, go to church. They know where they belong. And Christians go to church lit. And to get lit. And to remain lit. Feed the fire with righteousness and holiness. Feed the fire with consecration, with right association. You say, well, I'm just not burning like I used to. Yeah, who are you hanging out with? Oh, I'm not affected. The Bible says bad company corrupts good character. You might just need to take a look at your world and your people if you're not burning like you should or burning like you used to. Feed the fire weekly, daily, hourly, and the call to prayer without ceasing. You know, all the pieces of life and living, fitting wood and fuel for the fire. Not church. You know what some of us need in this place, and we all need it. We need an Isaiah moment. Isaiah 6, verses 1 to 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged, atoned for. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. You know, there is no doubt that a live coal taken from the altar will render us lit. One of the flaming creatures, literally the burning ones in flight, approaching, holding a red-hot ember taken from God's table, the temple altar with a pair of tongs, the touch of this burning ember. Can you hear the words of the burning one? Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. Sounds like the mercies of God. Yes, brethren, by the mercies of God, in view of all the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Oh, the text. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. send me. I mean, how could I ever lag in diligence? Lag in zeal and earnest endeavor. How could I ever let the fire die down? How could I ever let the fire go out in light of the mercies of God? I'm a living sacrifice. Heaven forbid I become a dead one or an unholy one, unacceptable to God. I'm a living sacrifice. I serve the Lord God Almighty. Yeah, I serve Him with spiritual gifts like those who wait on the Lord. I'm a living sacrifice that behaves like a living sacrifice, that behaves like a Christian. Once lit, always lit. It's possible, but not without diligence and earnest endeavor. Well said, preacher. Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, in busyness. Yeah, a lazy man is no beauty anywhere. Romans 12:11, fervent in spirit. Burn. Let your soul get hot. Have the worship team return today. Samuel Chadwick, spirit-filled souls are ablaze for God. They love with the love that glows. They serve with a faith that kindles. They serve with a devotion that consumes. They hate sin with fierceness that burns. They rejoice with a joy that radiates. Love is perfected in the fire of God. Tommy Tenney said these words, fire doesn't fall on empty altars. Yeah, he carried on. There has to be a sacrifice on the altar for the fire to fall. If you want the fire of God, you must become the fuel of God. Empty altars. And so too, empty altars, you know, A-L-T-E-R, like not willing to become different. So true these words, destitute of the fire of God, nothing else counts. Possessing the fire, nothing else matters. How's the fire? Lit? A glow burning, fueled in a flame? Is diligence lacking? Is diligence lagging? To all willing and wanting living sacrifices today, never lag in zeal and earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Keep the fires of the Spirit burning as you do your work for God. Keep yourselves fueled in a flame. Be alert servants of the Master. Let your spirit be on fire. Doesn't it say stir yourself up too, you know? It's like coming to church and wait for God to stir you up. Or someone else. Stir yourself up in the most holy faith. You know, I love what one translation says, you know, just talking about Christian behavior. It says, study your behavior in the world's sight as well as in God's. Well said. Oh, Lord, we want to be your living sacrifices. I need to ask, and I'm going to read something this morning. Are there any game players in the house? Any game players in the house? Perhaps we might benefit from these words today. The game player. If you're a religious game player, you only come to church for fire insurance. You don't really want to live for God. Instead, You want to enjoy everything the world's got to offer through the week and then come to church on Sunday morning to get rid of your sense of guilt because you know in your heart you've done wrong. However, you have no intention of turning away from doing wrong. You just want to have the covering of church for salvation. You will never experience the life God has for you, abundant life, until you let go of the world. Time and time again in Scripture, we see that when God's people embraced the pleasures of the culture that surrounded them, they lost their strength. And when the theological focus of the house of God became about personal pleasure, personal prosperity, and self-elevating doctrines, it took away the life and strength of the church. It rendered us powerless. Are you willing to die to self? Are you willing to walk away from that which is weakening you? Are you willing to embrace that which will give you strength? Are you willing to live on this earth for the purposes of God? Do you believe that God can put words in your mouth and courage in your heart that are not there today, but that you are willing to have there? Do you believe that He can give you a passion for His kingdom, for His honor, for His glory? Do you believe that you can stand when confronted by darkness? Do you believe honestly that your life will make a difference? If we have the heart of Christ beating within us, please hear these words. If we have the heart of Christ beating within us, we can't live self-consumed lives. We will be ineffective, weak, and poor representatives of Christ. Self has to be dethroned so that God has His rightful place in your life. It's time to let go and die to self and put God on the throne. Let's stand in the house of the Lord. You're saying, I need a lighting. Oh, come today. You see, I need an igniting. Come today. You're in the house of the Lord. And you know that the fire's dwindled. The fire is dwindling. Come today. You're in the house of the Lord. And you know I need a cleansing. I need a purifying. Come today. If you're a game player, come today. You say, I want to burn. I want to be a burning one lit for God. Come today. I want to burn brighter and stronger, cranked up intensity. Come. If you're here in the house of the Lord and you have never been baptized in Holy Ghost fire, come. The hour demands it. The hour requires it. God, we need your fire. You're saying today, Lord, here I am. Lord, here we are, your living sacrifices, your holy servants, your ready servants, ready and wanting to behave as your servants. Behave like Christians, Lord, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, burning, ever burning, fueled and aflame, aglow, lit for your glory. It's not the cry of every Christian, but it's the cry of true Christians. Lord, I want to be lit. God, in light of your mercies, are you not overcome? Are you not amazed? Are you not overwhelmed? The mercies of God are extended to us. Lord, who am I that you're even mindful of me? The mercies of God. Let it grip your soul today.